I quoted the recently departed Yogi Berra, who said, "Wherever you go, there you are." Wherever you go in life, that is where you are, and that is where God intends for you to bear witness to your neighbor of what it is that Christ has done for you. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone whom God places in your path. As Yogi said, wherever you go, there you are. The same is true of when you should bear witness of Christ concerning what he has done to take away the guilt of your sin. The letter to the Hebrews says, as long as this day is called today, exhort one another. There is work to do in the kingdom of God. As long as this day is called today, there is still hope for those who are outside of the kingdom of God. As long as this day is called today, we are still living in this temporary world of time, and we need to hear God's saving word, his word of grace and truth and life. As long as this day is called today, Christ has not yet returned. So there is hope for those who are outside of Christ. When he returns, this day will no longer be called today, because time will be of no consequence. There will be no evening or morning. There will be no night. There will be no seasons. As the final verse of Amazing Grace so beautifully states, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. The essence of eternity is timelessness. There will come a day when we no longer count days, when we are no longer bound to time. And when that last day comes, the concept even of a day will disappear. However, as the letter to the Hebrews says, as long as this day is called today, as long as we are in this temporary world of time, we have work to do. And the work we have to do is work to be done today. There is an essence of necessity because we never know when all things will come to an end. And there's also a necessity of doing things today because our life in Christ is to be a daily function. In the Small Catechism, Luther calls upon every Christian to begin the day remembering their baptism. He says the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Every day, we are to remember our baptism. Every day we are to recall the amazing, complete sacrifice that Christ, the Son of God, made so that we are washed clean, so that we are covered in his righteousness. That is our task, so long as this day is called today. We are also called today to exhort and build one another up in the Word of God. Every day we are encouraged to teach, to be witnesses of Christ Jesus in what we say, in what we do. And today we are to be watchful for the last day, because we do not know when our Lord will return. And when he returns, there will be no more days to do the work we have been given to do. One of my favorite quotes from our early church fathers. It's from Irenaeus of Lyon. You've probably heard me say this before, but he says, "The business of every Christian is nothing else than every day being prepared to die." That is our number one task today. Unfortunately, there are many people in our world who have the approach that they will take care of that tomorrow, down the road, when they have time. And far too many treat their relationship with God the same way that I treat my diet and exercise regimen. I'll do it soon. I'll think about getting right to that tomorrow, if I, have the time. I mean, you can have a membership at the YMCA or Croc Center or have a gym in your basement, but if you rarely or never take advantage of those benefits, of what benefit is it to you? Likewise, having a membership in a church, but rarely or never participating in the actual means of grace, of what benefit is it? Because it's through the preached word. It's through your baptism and the body and blood of Christ, through the words of the absolution, that God showers his grace down upon you. This is where he feeds you, gives you what you need so that you can go out and exercise your faith. If these means of grace are not worthy of our time, what does that actually say about our faith? In what would we have faith if we say, well, we really don't have time for God and his word of salvation? And that's where people get mixed up about what the benefit of participating in and being a part of Christ's church is all about. Whenever in the last 20 years of ministry that I have rebuked anyone or talked to anyone about, those who have not been in church for a while, be that weeks or months or some even years, almost every time they will say at some point in the conversation, "Oh, I know I need to be in church more." But that's not my goal. What they don't get is my goal is not for them to, just to come to church more. Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's the law talking. What I want from them is to actually receive the means of grace. This is where we eat. More specifically, this is where God has chosen to feed you. Now, I do recommend snacking during the week. Bible class, devotion, scripture reading. And that's the reason I go over to St. James for Chapel on Wednesdays as often as I can. Not just to, set a good example for the kids or show support for the school. I go there to hear the Word of God. Specifically, I go there to hear the absolution spoken by the pastor. Nothing annoys me more than I lose track of time and I get over there after we've already done the confession and absolution. I show up late because I never get tired of hearing those words. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It makes my day to hear that spoken to me. But our sinful nature says, "Oh, you don't need to hear that again. And you don't need to eat that food again. I mean, stay home, say a prayer. You've gone to church enough in your life, after all. Besides, you'll have time for that later." But that's just the point of the letter to the Hebrews. Eventually, we will not have time. I've heard it repeatedly, again, over the last 20 years. "Oh, I'd like to be in church, but it just doesn't fit in our schedule right now. We just don't have time." That's the deceitfulness of sin. because that's actually a wrong statement. Because now is when you actually do have time. There will come a day when there is no more time. There will be a day that will no longer be called today. So what is our task today? The business of the Christian, as Irenaeus says, is nothing else than every day being prepared to die. Having heard God's word, having heard the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins, hungering and thirsting for the body and blood of Christ our Lord, we are prepared to depart in peace, as we sing in the words of Simeon, which we do as the post-communion canticle most of the time. We are prepared to depart this world of time. And God has made us prepared. Having been fed and strengthened, we leave here with the opportunity to exercise our faith through our words, through our actions, through our life of prayer. We have the opportunity to share the joy that we have in God's saving word with those who do not yet understand the benefits of God's saving word. And we do this as long as this day is called today. And we do it wherever we go. Because as Yogi says, wherever you go, there you are. And God has placed those people in your path that you can share this good news with them. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.